Good morning. You are tuned into the KRFY morning show on a very beautiful July 23rd, 2015. Thanks for tuning in. It's Jack and Diane up here in the studio. Diane sitting across from me and sitting in for Jim, who is on some sort of a vacation, it sounds like. He's exploring the southern part of this state from what we know, although I haven't heard from him lately. Hopefully he does come back out of the woods at some point. The weather today, looking into the weekend for the Idaho Panhandle, the forecast for today, mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. That's about perfect, isn't it? Yeah, that's not too hot as it has been, and certainly not too cold. It's just right, mostly sunny, high of 80 degrees. Lows down to 51 tonight, partly cloudy. Mostly sunny again tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s, about 77 degrees. There is a chance of thunderstorms on Saturday, high of 76 degrees. And then on Sunday, it does look like the weather might turn, and we might only get up into the high 60s on Sunday. Showers are very likely, a rainy, and I don't know if you can call 69 degrees a chilly day, but it's not as balmy as what we've been used to. So come, that's on Sunday. The other voice in the studio is Sandy Compton. That's on Sunday. Chance of showers or showers likely, I should say, in a high of 69 degrees. So make sure you go to the library on Saturday and get yourself that good book that you've been looking for. The wind isn't going to be too bad either, so the next few days, make the most of it, and then enjoy a good excuse to be inside for the first time in quite a while, since we've had a good excuse for that. In the studio today, we have two guests from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Sandy Compton is the program director, and Nathan Minat is the assistant program director. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How do you do?
Just fine, thank you. Thanks for having us today.
Good. Well, we are here to talk about what's been going on up at Scotchman Peaks and what's going on in the future. This is my first time meeting Nathan, though, and he's sort of new on the staff, if I'm not mistaken.
Nathan came on board in May.
Mm-hmm. April.
Uh-huh. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, sort of invisible for the first couple of weeks. No.
Mm-hmm. You were gone, actually.
Oh, that's so right. I was.
That's why I don't remember. Uh-huh.
You guys have to get your facts straight before you come on the radio.
He was... Nathan has an interesting story. He decided he wanted to work for us a long time before he even met us, at the advice of one of his mentors back east, and he actually paid for his own trip to the National Wilderness Conference in Albuquerque so he could meet us. And we didn't have a job for him at that point. And I advised him that if he wanted to move to Sandpoint, the best thing to do is to get online and get a job at Schweitzer. So he did. And he ended up working in the parking lot on the worst ski season ever. He did ski quite a bit. I think he learned quite a bit about skiing. Mm-hmm. And he hung in there. We actually hired someone else over him. And then they turned the job down. So Nathan was our next choice, and we hired him, and we're glad we did. So he has had a long trail to this job, and he's doing a great job.
Funny how that works out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nathan, so you're from North Carolina?
I am, yep.
And I didn't know that you had specifically sought out the area. What brought you here? I mean, what was the attraction for you to this particular neck of the woods?
Well, I worked for an organization called Southern Appalachian Wilderness Stewards back east, and my boss there introduced me to Phil and Sandy. I'd never heard of Sandpoint before, but was looking for a small town out west to move to, and sounded like a pretty beautiful place, so headed on out.
How are you liking it?
It's great. Sandpoint is a beautiful town, and the people here have welcomed me with open arms, so I couldn't really ask for much more.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Another East Coast boy gone bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah, it's hard to go back east once you've been out here. Mm-hmm. So what? Well, what's the first thing that we should talk about here? What's coming right up for
well, I'd like to, first of all, say a little bit something about the political situation in Idaho. We have made some great bounds into a potential bill for the Scotchman Peaks in Idaho in the last 6 to 8 months. We've had a lot of local support from our commissioners, our city council, our Chamber of Commerce, and Jim Risch, actually our senator, one of our senators from Idaho, actually said in public that after they get the Boulder White Clouds wilderness passed, which is moving through Congress right now, that they will pay some attention to the Scotchmans. So we're very hopeful that that will come to fruition sometime in this session of Congress. And that is a huge step. Phil Huff and Brad Smith from Idaho Conservation League and Kate McAllister from the Chamber all traveled to Washington, D.C. in May and met with our congressmen from Idaho and Montana, and they were very encouraged by that trip. So a lot of people ask us, you know, where are we? And we've taken some giant strides in the last 6-8 months towards really getting something done, which is really cool. On the other side of our organization is from the advocacy side is our stewardship side, and that's really what we'd like to talk about today. The trail projects and
I do have a quick question about the advocacy side. So for those listening who don't know that much, I mean, we call it the Scotchman Peaks, Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, but it is not an officially designated wilderness area at this point.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a proposed wilderness.
Right.
And it's been managed as wilderness since the 1970s by the Forest Service. The Forest Service is the only federal agency that is involved, which simplifies matters. We don't have to deal with BLM or Park Service or something like that. The place was identified as a potential wilderness during the RARE studies, which were done in the 1970s, and it has been recommended in several forest plans as wilderness by the Forest Service, including the last one. So that's kind of, we actually were a wilderness for a very short period of time. In the last year of Ronald Reagan's presidency, the Scotchman Peaks were attached to a land omnibus bill, and it passed. And then Mr. Reagan did not sign the bill. He left it sitting on the desk. He pocket vetoed it.
Oof.
At the request of a Montana senator who will go nameless right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a wilderness one time for a couple hours. And then not much happened until 2005 when a bunch of people got together. Phil Huff, Cesar Hernandez, Bill Martin, and the people who are on our board now, and myself and a few other likely suspects. And Friends of Scotchman Peaks was formed.
So the organization goes back about 10 years.
Yep, this is our 10th anniversary. Nice. We had a 10th anniversary celebration in January. Our first meeting was January 15th of 2005, I think.
So there you go. Happy 10.
Thanks.
Very briefly, for someone who's just tuning into KRFY and hasn't heard any previous interviews, where is the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness and what is it?
The Scotchman Peaks is 88,000 acres on the Montana-Idaho border, north and a little bit east of Clark Fork. Diane here lives right at the base of it. She can walk out her back door and throw a rock pretty hard, and it'll land within the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
It stretches from Lightning Creek on the west to Bull River on the east. and from Mosquito Creek, the Scotchman Peaks area on the south, to Rattle Creek on the north. So it's encapsulated. It's sort of a trapezoidal shape with the north side leaning west. The very southeast corner of it is where Highway 56 joins Highway 200 over in Montana, the Bull River Highway.
Okay.
So it's a chunk of land that's undeveloped totally, highly glaciated, one of the most rugged and, I wouldn't say inaccessible, but it's hard to get into the Inner Scotchman's. It's not something that you just take a whim to go, like if you're going to go climb the Mikanik or something like that. You got to be ready to do something stupid if you want to get in the middle of the Scotchman's.
So that's what we're talking about. Well, let's talk about stewardship a little bit. What's going on? What's coming up? And by the way, who is responsible for taking care of the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness?
Well, some of that, Otis, is on the Forest Service, who's the managing agency, but we've also taken some of the burden on ourselves to make sure that it's managed in the best way possible, and also to help get people involved and raise awareness that this is one of the most pristine wilderness areas left in western Montana and North Idaho. So we're doing various things. Coming up this Friday, we have continuing of our series, our Take a Kid Hiking series, which has been a lot of fun. We paired up with the Transitions in Progress home in Sandpoint to take some of the kids living in that home out onto some of the trails in Scotchman's, and many of them have never had an opportunity to get into the woods before even. So it's been pretty remarkable.
That's also an opportunity for other people who want to bring their children.
It is.
We lead hikes for kids, and if parents want to bring their kids, we welcome them, and mm-hmm. we think it's a really good opportunity to introduce young kids to the woods. The catch point is before they're teenagers. It's like when they're 4 to 9. Mm-hmm. If you can get kids into the woods at that point, they're going to be going into the woods for the rest of their life. And that's our pointed goal.
I'll buy that. I think, yeah, that sounds about right to me. Everybody who I knew, seems like growing up, if you were in the woods as a little kid, you were hooked, but
yeah, you're a believer.
It's hard to
it's the best playground there is.
Right. It's like learning a language. You gotta learn it mm-hmm. learn it young or something. Well, so that's the TIP and the Take a Kid in the Woods. So what are the
average ages of the kids that you take?
Well, the youngest one we've taken this year was 2.5.
Really?
She was a trooper.
Excuse me. And she was great. And the oldest kid that we've taken in over this period of 2 years that we've been doing this was about 13.
Yeah.
And they're a little harder to engage, but once you get them out there and make them turn their cell phone off or get them to a place where their cell phone doesn't work.
That shouldn't be too hard.
That's right. It's true. Then they start looking at things differently. It's pretty amazing.
Great.
Yep.
Not to backtrack too much, but Scotchman Peak itself, what is that's the tallest peak in the proposed wilderness area, right?
Correct.
In all of Bonner County.
Mm-hmm. That was the factoid I was going for. That's what I thought I'd heard. Mm-hmm. How tall is it?
7,009 feet.
Wow.
Very good.
All right. Yeah.
I used to say 11. Where'd we lose 2 feet?
The fault is moving all the time. No, I don't know. I don't know. 7,009 is the figure that I've always had. Yeah. Yeah. There are a number of peaks within the proposal that are about 7,000 feet, 6,800 to 7,009. Scotchman 2, Mike's, Clayton, Melissa, are all, and I believe Savage are all 68 plus.
Ah.
So
you're going to Regal Hike this weekend, or sorry, Regal Creek this weekend, is that right?
With the kids.
With the kids.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're going to be kind of in Diane's neck of the woods again with a Lightning Creek restoration project,
right?
Correct.
Well, Regal Creek is in Lightning Creek. It's a tributary to Lightning Creek, but
this I don't know.
Yeah.
And, okay.
The Lightning Creek restoration project is one of the best examples of our collaboration with the Forest Service. Actually, we're teaming up with the Sandpoint District to help with a project that'll be helping to rebuild the stream banks of Lightning Creek that have gotten severely washed out. They've hired contractors for some of the work to be done, but this is, they have some aspects of the project that are great volunteer projects, and they knew that we had the manpower, and so they came to us to get some people out there and help get some work done. So we're going to be taking some volunteers out there, and we're also going to take a few kids from the Tips House out there to get them involved in some early on wilderness stewardship work as well, which I'm excited about.
Neat. That sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that that you do have a partnership with the Forest Service. That's a cool cool thing that they're able to do.
We have a very interesting partnership with the Forest Service. We're sort of a poster child when it comes to that. We have a relationship with two national forests and three ranger districts. And a few years ago, at the suggestion of one of our best partners, Joel Sather, who was at the Cabinet District, we invited the Trails and Rec people to meet with us at our office in Heron. And they all showed up, and they all brought their rangers with them. And that was a very interesting moment. These people had never met each other, even though they are on districts right next to each other.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And so we have done that now 5 times. And every year what we do is we get together with these guys. And the Forest Service is in a really hard place because their funding has been cut incredibly, and particularly recreation funding.
Mm-hmm.
So where we step in is we provide manpower and tools and inspiration, if you will, to maintain trails and help them do a few other things, including weed monitoring, this thing that Nathan was talking about, the restoration project. We did a huge whitebark pine study last 2 years with the Forest Service and the National Forest Foundation. So the relationship between the agencies and volunteer groups has changed dramatically over the last 10 years. And we feel like our relationship is sort of like a really good example of what can be done. Part of it is the willingness of the Forest Service to trust us to go out there and do it right. And the other part of it is our willingness to go out there and do it right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Forest Service and volunteer groups have often been adversarial in some ways.
Yeah.
But once you prove yourself, they're like, yeah, this is good. And so we're at that point. And it's, we've actually set up another volunteer group to come out and work on a problematic trail in Lightning Creek, the Morse Creek Trail. They're an East Coast based group. They're coming first week of August. We'll go out and greet them and show them around a little bit. But they've got about 8 or 9 people. They're gonna reroute part of the Lower Morris Creek Trail, which is good because it's been falling into the creek forever.
Yep.
Yeah. You know that trail.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me about the 10 years ago, 12 years ago or so, the Forest Service, a lot of this might be something that they would just do themselves. Wouldn't necessarily welcome.
They were doing it themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the money. They had the personnel.
Yeah. And now it's a little more of a partnership.
And this is a good opportunity to say something about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you out there who are listening, if you love your trails, you need to come out and help us keep them going. I have a really good trail crew, but I need some people. I need some more people on it. It's on our shoulders, really, to keep our trails open. We can, if we ignore them and if we don't volunteer to help, they're going to go away. The Forest Service doesn't have the money or the time, but we do. And it's one of the most satisfying things that I've ever done in my life is building trails. And I think that we had a 15-year-old girl on our last trail day who was from, her dad works for the UN. She lives in Europe. She's never had a Pulaski in her hand before. She showed up sort of surly and like, I'm not sure I want to do this. And by the end of the day, she had a Pickmatic, which is a tool that's heavier than a Pulaski.
Burly.
And she would not give it up. She would not give it up. It was her tool. She was building trail and she was totally into it.
Mm.
It's a conversion moment. And I challenge anybody out there, if you like trails, come help us maintain them.
And there is there are several opportunities to do that coming
up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna say let's take a quick musical break. It is 8:23 and you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. We will be back with plenty more upcoming events and chances to help the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. In the studio with Jack and Diane, Sandy and Nathan here talking to us about the Scotchman Peaks. I found a song about a mountain by the Beach Boys. It's called Bluebirds Over the Mountain. It sounded sweet, so I thought we'd pop that one in and see how that sounds. Sounds like a good early morning song. This is 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. That's the Beach Boys with Bluebirds Over the Mountain, talking with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Area, Sandy Compton and Nathan Minat, the Program Director and Assistant Program Director. This is the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Diane. What is the trail work that you guys do? What does that entail? I heard the word Pulaski.
Hard work.
Yeah.
Digging in the dirt.
Yeah.
So the main project that we're working on this summer is a reroute of the first mile of the Scotchman Peak Trail. It's one of the most popular trails in Bonner County, but that first mile is pretty horrible stretch of trail. It's nearly straight up and it's gotten really rutted out. It's what we call a fall line trail, which means that water runs right down it. Oh. And erodes the trail really quickly. So what we're trying to do is, or what we are doing, is rerouting that so that it switchbacks up rather than just going straight up the hill. And it'll turn a mile into about a mile and a half, but it'll be a much better, easier mile and a half to walk and a more sustainable trail. So that's a pretty significant project that we've undertaken. We've already had two trail days out there, and we have three more, finishing with the full trail work weekend coming up this summer. The next one being July 31st, which is a Friday.
Yeah, we have what we call Field Day Fridays this year. It's an excuse to get out of the office for us. And every Friday we do something. We either take kids hiking, we do trail work. We have some education classes that we're doing on Fridays. Every Friday through the end of September, we have something going on.
Cool. That sounds very cool. I was just looking. I was cheating a little bit, looking ahead. I think I'm gonna miss the next couple of them, but maybe I'll come out for that work weekend, which is looks like the first or second weekend in September.
Yep, that'll be a good weekend. We'll probably I'm not sure we're gonna camp at the trailhead, but we might, just because it's easier to start the day walking up the trail than it is driving for an hour to get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have another trail work weekend, the Spar Peak Trail over in Montana, on August 21st and 22nd. It depends a little bit on water. There's a spring up there that was running very strongly on Sunday, and we're going to check a couple days before the project. And if there is, we're going to go up camp high, up in a little meadow up there about 4,500 feet, and then we'll work above that. The trail has sort of disappeared in a big burn that was about 10 years ago. The bear grass has taken over the trail, so we need to kind of go up and redefine it, build some cairns, do a little digging, and it'll be a good weekend.
Cool. So for that, like working way up there, what are you going to bring? You said build some cairns. Will you bring a, I don't know, are you using gas-powered equipment at all, or is this all, no?
The Forest Service uses chainsaws in that proposal right now. And it's sort of a godsend in the sense that it's really one of the big problems with our trails in the Scotchman's is brush. They brush in pretty quickly. And to hand deal with that stuff, it takes a lot of work and a lot of time. Forest Service uses chainsaws to clear blowdowns. We are slowly moving away from that into more of a crosscut situation for the big stuff because it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
And our volunteers, we have some sexy tools. Yeah. We have Pulaskis and Pickmatics and crosscuts. Mm-hmm. It's like burly people.
The crosscut, you mean the that lumberjack style thing?
Yep.
Two man saw. Oh. Yeah. Big steel saw.
Nice. Going back and forth like a seesaw. Cool. That sounds like a blast.
Well, with the fire danger so high, is that going to impact will you be able to get in there by August?
That's a good question. We don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Every time we get a little bit of rain, that staves off the closing down the woods.
You're optimistic.
We have the plan, and you have to be pretty flexible even in all that we do. I mean, we had a trail work weekend where it was really, really hot, and we didn't have a lot of volunteers, so we just kind of cut it down to one day. But we still got something done. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to have the intent and to carry through as best as you can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I see on the your little cheat sheet here that it's not all working in the woods. You got the Bonner County Fair on here. What are you guys doing there?
We do. We have both the Bonner County Fair and the Huckleberry Festival, actually. And we'll be having a table there every day of the fair and the festival.
Is that the Huckleberry Festival in Trout Creek?
Right. Correct. Yep, sorry. So the Bonner County Fair will be August 11th through 15th, and the Huckleberry Festival is August 14th through 16th. And we'll have staff and volunteers out there manning Scotchman Peaks table to sort of disseminate some information, spread the knowledge, hand out our newsletters, the Peak Experience.
Sign up new friends.
Yeah, sign up new friends. We're always trying to make new friends. So if you want to become a friend, come on by.
If you want to volunteer for that, it's like it doesn't involve Pulaskis or shovels or crosscut saws. And we have volunteer opportunities for just about any level of fitness. And and being at the fair or the Huckleberry Festival is actually pretty fun. we ask people to commit to a couple hours, and then you get to hang out with your friends. You get to meet new friends, and then you get to go to this event too. It's like going to the county fair is sort of like a tradition, and it's always nice to go there and see the people that you haven't seen since the last county fair. And it's not a big mind drain or anything to do it. It's certainly not physical, but it's a good thing to do. So we will be calling our volunteers to ask if they'd like to put in a couple hours at the Bonner County Fair or the Huckleberry Festival.
The county fair is always a blast, isn't
it?
Yeah. I've never actually heard of the Huckleberry Festival. Sounds like Diane knows a little bit about that.
Well, mm-hmm. I do, because my son used to be in a Montana 4-H club, mm-hmm. and they ran the snow cone, or not snow cone. Cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
And the bees were bad. It was quite an experience. But the Huckleberry Festival is a lot of fun. It's kind of a big Huckleberry party, and I'll be there this year.
Nice.
You want to volunteer in the booth?
I would for a while.
Perfect.
There you go.
Go get the sign up sheet.
Promise not to tell my kids.
Okay.
Yeah. What else do you have coming up? We've got a few work weekends. We got the county fair and the Huckleberry Festival. Anything else? Any other upcoming events we should be aware of?
Just to add on, we have our hike series. We always have these popular hikes going into the various sides of the Scotchman's proposal. So coming up on the 25th, there's a hike up to Little Spar Lake. It's a pretty, at least from my experience around Sandpoint, not very many people know much about Little Spar Lake, but it's really a gem. It's a small alpine lake up on the Montana side of the proposal off of Bull River Highway. And it's absolutely beautiful. And if you can get up onto the ridge over Little Spar Lake, you can see the entire interior of the Scotchman's proposal. It's a really cool place to go. So Eric Walker is leading that hike up to Little Spar Lake.
It is full.
Oh, it okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
What's the bear population up there?
I didn't see a bear on Spar Peak. I saw a little bit of bear poop, but...
Yeah, I saw a very small black on that trail, but it ran away very quickly. Moving forward, we have a hike up to the top of Scotchman Peak, but it's going to be... It's titled Scotchman for Unbelievers, and it's for those folks out there who don't really consider Scotchman Peak to be within their grasp, but want to make sure that everyone knows that they can get up there. And so that hike's going to take as much time as possible to make sure everyone participating gets up to the top. Then we'll also be doing... Sandy will be leading a few hikes after that, walk up Blue Creek Canyon, where his grandfather explored a long time back.
That hike is not for unbelievers.
Mm. No, or neither is the next, which is the West Fork walk home.
Yeah.
Sandy is 3/4 mountain goat.
those are a little more burly. We have a Mud Creek mystery hike on September 12th.
If you want to have fun, Mary Franzel is one of the most fun hike leaders you can imagine. The other one is Celeste, who's reading Celeste Grace. She's leading the Scotchman for Unbelievers. Mm-hmm. But those two, if you want to have fun, go out with them.
What's the Mud Creek mystery?
Well, we don't know.
Like,
that's the whole point.
But leave it up to Mary.
Yeah. Mary will do something mysterious.
Mm. Yeah.
Probably won't hurt too much.
And then finishing out this summer, we have a final hike up to Scotchman Peak on September 13th, which our executive director, Phil Huff, is leading. And that'll be a nice final trek up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
See if there are any mountain goats still hanging around.
We do have one other hike that's not on the general schedule because it's arranged with the county. Last year, we took the county commissioners to the county commissioners to the top of Scotchman.
Uh-huh.
And they thought it was such a great deal that they have offered an incentive to their employees to get in shape and to hike Scotchman. And Phil will be leading that hike, I think, first weekend of October.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's,
How long does it take to for an unbeliever to hike up Scotchman?
All day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point. People say, you know, it's like one of the essential ideas about wilderness, as far as I'm concerned, is it's a place to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where you can't get a cell phone call more, you know, well, I shouldn't say you can't, but it's a place where you can go and sort of divest yourself of the cares of the world and be in a place that is, I won't call it neutral, because wilderness will eat you given the chance.
Ambivalent.
Yeah. But it's a place where you can just, where you can hear yourself think. And to rush, I mean, we live in a culture where it's like, the term is, I'm going to do Scotchman's. Okay. Why don't you let Scotchman do you? Take all day.
Yeah.
Take it to lunch, take lots of water, take your time. Don't rush up there and rush back. Stop along the trail. Subalpine fir right now smells really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great views, and there are little places to go explore, and there's little secrets here and there. Just take your time. And I think that anybody that's in moderately good shape who will go early and take their time going up and take their time coming back can probably climb Scotchman.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get the new trail in place,
mm-hmm.
I think that that will probably even allow more. Hmm. So,
yep.
Well, that's very encouraging to hear. I've never been all the way up myself, but I'm putting it on my list. I'm moving it up on my list.
Okay.
Good. Higher up on the list.
It is not on my list.
Oh.
Did you ever climb it?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Right next door?
Yeah. I know.
Well,
what can I say?
You are listening to the KRFY Morning Show. We've been talking with Sandy Compton and Nathan Minot. Minot. Mm-hmm. Nathan Minot.
Slur it all together.
Okay. Yeah. The program director and assistant program director of the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. And did I get all that right?
You did.
I think I did.
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts? Any last words before we...
If you want to know what's happening at the Scotchman's, we have a Facebook page, which is really easy. You type in Scotchman Peaks and up comes the Facebook page. Or you can go to our website, scotchmanpeaks.org. And if you want to know what, there's two tabs over on the left-hand side. One of them says hikes, and the other one says stewardships and events. And the stewardship and events, if you click on that, you'll find the events calendar. There are links within each event to sign up for it or to learn more. It's pretty easy to find the information and to sign up for anything that you want to try to sign up that you are interested in. One thing I do want to say about group size limit, we do have an agreement with the Forest Service. This is not a legal agreement. This is an agreement of
gentleman's agreement.
A gentleman's agreement that on trails on the west side, in other words, in Lightning Creek, the group size limit is 12. On trails on the east side, the group size limit is 8. And any off-trail group, the group size limit is 8. This keeps the experience somewhat more personal, and it also keeps the impact down on the place. So there. ScotchmanPeaks.org if you want to learn more.
Yep. There we go. ScotchmanPeaks.org. O-R-G. It was on this date in 1969, 46 years ago today, that the Rolling Stones had their final hit on the UK pop charts. Not their final hit, but their final number one hit. The last time that they were in the number one spot on.
Yeah, but what have they done since?
Yeah. This, it was interesting to me to learn that, because this is 69 and they had a, the particularly the early 70s and then again in the late 70s, they had a pretty strong career, but never had a number one single on the UK charts after 1969. And it was on this date in 69 that they went to number one. Can you guess what the song was? Their eighth and final number one hit on the UK pop charts. Anyone? Anyone?
I have no
clue. Idea.
It was Honky Tonk Women. Honky Tonk Women. Surprise. going back 46 years ago today, this is the Rolling Stones with Honky Tonk Women. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Diane, and with thanks to our guests, Sandy and Nathan from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. We're coming into a little the time to give you the rundown of upcoming events here in Sandpoint and Bonner County with our handy information sheet brought to you by Sandpoint Online. They nicely provide us with our calendar, but we do also have a calendar of events on krfy.org that's a little fuller than the one that we will present to you over the air. But what's coming up? Let's do it chronologically. What's going on tonight there, Diane? What's on your sheet?
Well, tonight, winery music at the Ponderay Winery, 301 Cedar Street, with Nate Vernon and Carly Fetzer of Wartime Blues, from 5:30 until 8:30 p.m. Vernon is a singer-songwriter based in Missoula and has penned over 50 original songs. His music has been called New Roots Hybrid. And the phone number for more information is 208-265-8545.
I've heard this. First of all, I love the Wartime Blues from Missoula, Montana. They're one of my favorite regional bands.
Never heard of them before.
They are they're good, and this is the Wartime Blues is, I think it's usually a bigger band. It's a 7-piece outfit, but the two will give you a little bit more of an intimate concert experience, and I think that will prove rewarding, if you ask me. That sounds like a fun evening. What else is anything else going on tonight?
That's the only thing I have for tonight. I go into Friday. You want to hear
about
Friday?
Might as well. Yeah, what's going on?
Well, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Garden of Artistry Invitational Fine Art Show at the Ponderay Garden Center on Highway 95 North in Ponderay. This show features regional and guest professional artists. Hours are 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Friday, 10 to 5 Saturday, and 10 to 3 Sunday. For more information, 208-265-9613. The Garden Center is under new ownership, and they used to have concerts and things, and this is the first activity I've seen there this year. So it might be an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I guess it will be an interesting one. We'll see what's going on at the Ponderay Garden Center. I remember that, they used to have events pretty regularly.
Yeah.
I'm glad that
several of the concerts, but I don't know that they're doing anything like that now.
I'm glad that they are, that they're going to show off, or that they're going to do that. What else?
Well, there's music at the Idaho Poor Authority with Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. That's Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. And at the Ponderay Winery, there's winery music with Justin Lantrip from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Friday. And then also on Friday, Friday's a busy day, the Nell Shipman Film Event at the Beardmore Block in Priest River with a wine reception and a screening of the Nell Shipman documentary, The Girl from God's Country, all starting at 5:30. Shipman was the silent film star who filmed and produced two movies at Priest Lake in the early 1920s.
Right. Okay. Now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to, I'm putting in another little, musical interlude before we finish off our morning news. This is, Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell, and the song is Morning Morgantown. And then we'll be back with, a few more upcoming events right after this. It's the KRFY Morning Show, and welcome back. In the background, you hear our usual morning announcements theme, Count Basie and his orchestra with Lady Be Good. Coming up this weekend, we kind of did the Friday, Saturday thing, but there is more coming up, including Crazy Days. This used to be a very big deal.
Yeah.
And I guess it's... it's still here. It's back. Sandpoint's downtown streets are truly crazy on Crazy Days with extreme deals and savings offered by downtown merchants on seasonal gear and many unique, hard-to-find items. Local shops offer their best prices of the year during the Crazy Days open-air sidewalk sales event, showcasing Sandpoint's hot retailers and restaurants. Many of the sales start as early as 7 a.m., so that's this coming Saturday,
believe it or not.
Going on actually on Friday, tennis is here. Not the sport, but the band. At McDuff's Beer Hall, playing from 7 to 10. Tennis is, I don't know if they left or if they just do. They're back in town anyway for another Victory Lap concert. It's a 21-plus show at McDuff's Beer Hall, so that makes perfect sense, but it's live on the lawn, and if you have not heard tennis or heard of tennis, then you must not be from around here. Sorry. going on Saturday, the Sam Owen Fire Department is having a pancake feed. This is good to know, good way to get a good meal and support a good cause. The Sam Owen Fire Department offers a tasty pancake breakfast, including pancakes, eggs, sausage, biscuits and gravy, juice, coffee, and tea from 8 until 11 a.m., plus informative fire station tours where your kid's imagination becomes a reality as they sit in a real fire truck. This is, if you're interested in the volunteer program of the Sam Owen Fire Department, contact Chief Wathen at 208-264-5745. For information about the pancake breakfast going on this Saturday, call the station, the fire department station, by the way, not the radio station, at 264-5101. The Farmer's Market, of course, is going on. Live music featuring Ben and Katie of Harold's IGA, plus the always changing variety of fresh, locally grown produce. That's this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's also a used book sale for going on the last Saturday of every month, and that's this Saturday out at the Bonner Mall. A used book sale. More information available at 263-4272. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bonner Mall. And then, continuing with the Live on the Lawn concert series at McDuff's Beer Hall, Brandon Watterson is playing from noon to 3 p.m., followed by Harold's IGA from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. That's Live on the Lawn at McDuff's Beer Hall. Harold's IGA is a great local band, a three-piece Sandpoint-based band playing lots of originals with their awesome sound and a few sing-along favorites. We're just about out of time here, but I will mention that the Summer Sounds concert series is going on. Backstreet Dixie is playing at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Carl Rae and the Blues Gators at noon. Northern Exposure at 2 p.m. Hoodoo 2 performing at 4 p.m. This is on the Park Place stage right across, almost across, kitty corner from the KRFY Panhandle Community Radio HQ near the corner of 1st and Cedar. There is music at the Poor Authority. Justin Lantrip is playing this Saturday from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. There is music at the Winery, the Electric Coal Show. Oh, he's very good, and I haven't seen him on the calendar lately. I'm glad to see he's still performing. There's also a City Beach Dance going on from 6:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. at the basketball court, hosted by the Sandpoint chapter of USA Dance and the City Parks and Rec Department. All are welcome. There will be free dance lessons and dancing after dinner. Please bring a potluck dish to share, your favorite non-alcoholic beverage, and a folding chair if you wish. Final thought, Joni Harms on Sunday, Joni Harms concert at the Western Pleasure Guest Ranch, Upper Gold Creek Road, call for reservations. There's a wagon ride, dinner, and concert. This is all that. All the information is available at westernpleasureranch.com or call 263-9066. And you are listening to 88.5 Pondere. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Diane, thank you for being across from me this morning. Yeah. And Jim will be back next week with sure to regale us with tales of his travels.
His latest adventure.
Yeah. And right now, stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.